fun, and welcome to the latest episode of Pod Nuts Pro. This is show number 88. I am Marvin B, and I am here with the 3M team, the M&M&M show.
How about just M squared? Cubed.
We'll take that out and edit. So going from left to right, the first person to speak was Mr. Martin Obando. Martin, how are you, sir?
Welcome to show Double Snowman. I'm doing well, actually. That just popped in my head. I'm doing well. Get over my cold. I've had a good, successful week. And I'm just happy to be here with you guys tonight. You always make me laugh.
All right. And the man in the middle, the show evolves around him, Mr. Matt Rainey. How are you, sir?
I am great. Thank you. I've had a successful week of not much, but still successful. And how are you this week, Marvin?
Well, I am doing actually Comcastic.
Ooh.
I don't know if I'm actually Comcastic, but I was told I was because they sent out a nice little letter saying that they were taking down our internet Sunday night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. to improve the quality. So the only thing I can tell you is haven't been dropped yet.
So that was last Sunday?
Yes.
Okay, so more hamsters in the pipe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So we shall see how that goes. I didn't get any more speed, though, so until I can get a nice fiber carrier over here. But, you know, down here in Florida, there's not much ground to put fiber down into, because pretty much as soon as you dig down, you hit water. So.
Yeah, don't dig too far.
No. Nope.
Unless you want a pool.
Got that already.
No. I say you're set, then.
Yep.
We can't put things in the air here because it just rains too much.
And it would just fall down, right?
And it just fall down. Yeah, when it rains here, we get weird internet. It's actually, you know what it is when it rains, everything is fine. When it gets too warm here, things go weird. The max, like our max trains, our above ground kind of mass transit trains, the lines sag and they can't run them because they're not made for the 100 degree temperature. So
the lines sag and the pipes warp and all that stuff. So
internet goes all wonky when it gets like above 98 degrees here.
And how often is that?
Oh, you know, 2 or 3 times a year.
No, that's not too bad.
In a row.
So this year wasn't too bad. So it's basically like walking through that weird mirror exhibit at the fair. So where everything is kind of wavy and wobbly. And
right. Portland in a heat wave is a house of mirrors.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Gotta love that. As long as there's candy corn somewhere on the aisle.
Well, there's vans driving around with lots of candy corn in them, so I don't know.
All right, so let's break format, which, since we haven't actually decided on one, standardized.
I thought we'd been breaking format every week so far.
But so, Matt, so are we going to have a break? Matt, go ahead. Structure, not. Matt's tip. We're going to break from Matt's tip of the week.
No, we're going to start the show with our stack of email.
Oh, okay.
Because we had a celebrity email into us.
Settle down, folks. This is going to be a long stack of emails.
So Paco LeBron sent us a nice little email and basically said he wanted to say how great it is to have Podnuts Pro back in all its glory. Then I will read the two parts that he has in the email. I'm going to read the second part first, because that'll be really quick, and then we'll go back to the first part. The second part says that he would just love for us to continue the Benjamin Franklin quotes. He actually has one shared in episode 3, which I'm assuming he means 83, as a paperweight, and he sent us a picture showing that he has the actual quote on a paperweight sitting on his desk. So, relevance to the very end.
Now, and that quote was...
Can I jump in? Because the picture he sent was upside down. Did anybody else get that?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure, he's not like on the space station or anything, right?
I'm not sure. He didn't specify.
Okay. I'm just...
and the quote was, either write something worth reading or do something worth writing. Yeah.
So the show is relevant, if it's only for people to recognize their own Benjamin Franklin quotes. So we will do that for as long as we can, or as long as it is fruitful and I can find them.
And then once you run out of them, we can just make them up.
Sure.
Well, half of them sound made up.
Well, we can switch them with quotes from Star Wars. They kind of sound the same.
That works for me.
Okay. I was just waiting to see what response I was going to get. Apparently, that sounded better in my head.
All right. So let's go back to the first part where he asked, curious if you guys have a source for business documentation to notate routers, NASBECs, etc. Matthew Rainey, I believe that's your cue.
Okay. So I haven't mentioned this in a while, but since Paco and his – Marvin didn't read that part, but he referenced Informed IT. So Informed IT, if you go to informedit.net, that's exactly what that's for, is to document your business network from routers to NAS devices to computer configuration. I mean, it's all kind of forms, and they're fillable PDF forms. Let's see, network overview, physical server, virtual server, satellite office, remote access overview, bunch of forms. And this is one thing that I made it because there's not enough documentation out there. They have TechNibble forms, which are great for contracts and work orders, but nothing about documenting the actual things you need. DNS login, you know, how to manage your DNS. When does your domain name expire? How are your applications? What are your applications? Where is the data for the applications? How do you back it up? How do you restore it? So I use those forms not only to document these things you need to document, but also to remember what you need to document. If you have these forms and you go through these forms, you will know everything you need to know about the network, and you won't forget to check something. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of other ways to do this, an infinite number of ways to do this. If you want to check out the forms, you go to informedit.net. Click on Get the Forms. Maybe it's under FAQ. FAQ. Scroll down. You can get a free form. It's the router form. You can see what it looks like. It's fillable PDF. You can type in it, save as, client name, whatever. But like I said, two reasons are to document the info, but more importantly, to remember what you need to document. And if you want to buy them, use a coupon code PODNUTS, and you get 25% off as well. So what about y'all? How do y'all document your business-related things?
Well, I can tell you that years ago, I actually started creating my own set of checklists and, you know, things like a blank network information sheet that when I would walk into an office for the first time, you know, it would ask for all the information for, you know, domain, server, server name, server IP address, DHCP information, the network paths that were shared out from the server, printers, their IP addresses, MAC addresses, stuff like that. So I started creating my own forms. I had a router information sheet. I had installation checklists, one for each customer. So if I had to set up a computer, you know, I always would have the checklist. If I had a tech, back when I had techs, I could just simply hand them the checklist. And some of those checklists, we actually would have, you know, if there were manual installations of programs, it would have the, you know, the path of where the installer file is. But I've not only purchased your forms, but also the TechNibble business toolkit. There are tons of resources out there, and only because there was a form in there, I can't remember which one of yours, that I liked better than the one that I had. And then there were others where I took something that you had and added them to my form. So you can never run out of good forms.
Right. And the thing I've seen most is people, especially if you're going to a new client, you sometimes get overwhelmed and you don't remember to document what applications are running. You don't document the router settings, or you just forget. If you had these forms, my goal was give this to somebody. Now you fill out these forms, you've done complete discovery on the client. And going forward, it should be easy to support them once you have the information, which so many times you ask them, oh, my email's not, where you get a call? My email's not working. You look at it, well, your domain name expired. And of course, they think you're supposed to be on top of that. Well, I didn't know when your domain name expired. We didn't register it for you. Well, you're our IT guy. You should know that. There's a form for that, to remember where to go. And not only when it's going to expire, the form has where is it registered, what's the login to manage it, when does it expire, you know, that kind of stuff. It's got everything. That's the gist of it. And I don't want to go on too much about it. I just, that's one, if people want to check it out, go get a free one on the site and see what they're about. I tried to keep them all to one page because I don't want 4 pages of a router form. It's one, each form is one page. So,
all right, Obando, what do you do?
Yeah, well, what do I do is I just purchased your forms there, Matt. By the way, Podnuts, you get 25% off. So, but I did. I just now purchased your forms because I'm going to look at them, take a look. Something I hadn't done in the past. But I have a list that kind of just a standard that I've always used. I have the name, the IP address of the company, and then I have all of the, you know, IP address, subnet gateway, then what the range is for devices, servers, printers, so on. And then I list the routers, the switches, the printers, then if need be, the computers, wireless, and then I list miscellaneous notes as well. And so I have got a list kind of like that for every one of my clients. So I also then have a sheet that I can go to and look at all of the information. There's usernames and passwords and IP addresses and firmware versions. And, it's the same, kind of the same thing that that Marvin has. But I need, it works out well that, you know, the problem I run into sometimes is that I'll forget to take some paper with me and there's always something that I miss, especially on a new client. And that's what I'm hoping to really gain a lot of, is be able to go in and say, okay, this is a list of my forms. I print them out. I will just go through each of my forms and make sure that I have everything, especially when I do kind of a beginning site survey. Because I always leave and go, oh, that's right. I forgot to get, what's the this for that or, something. So.
Right. You can't rely on memory. You got to forget something.
Right.
But yeah. So, Paco, thank you for listening to our show over there. Paco, of course, co-host of the Computer Business Podcast, which I also subscribe and listen to.
Yep.
All right.
YFNCG.com.
Your friendly neighborhood computer guy.
Yep. Yeah. So check out that site and that podcast if you haven't already.
All right. So that was stack one of our email. So let's move on to the next portion of the show, story time.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm still laughing because you said that was stack one. Like, we have a stack of emails. There it is. Okay.
One does make a stack.
It does, technically. If you fold it in half, then you can have...
It's still a stack. One is a stack.
What does qualify as a stack? I should ask Google.
Oh, wasn't that a great show? And you know what? And since it just got released, we are going to get a large stack of email after that, I bet.
You think like three or more?
Yeah, at least. Wow. At least our mailbox will be overflowing.
Well, go easy, everybody. Let's not rush into things.
All right. So, story time. Who wants to go first with adventures from the past week?
I got a couple quick ones. The client that doesn't want any passwords, that they wanted to know if they could pay some now, some later. I got a check in the mail, so I guess we got the job.
Well, you got some now, right? Did you get some now or all now?
I got all now, so I guess we'll have that job. That'll be a very, very easy install. Very easy install. This is real quick, too. It's not a whole story, but it's a mini story. So I get an email from a client. They forwarded me an AT&T order saying, what's this? And I looked at it. I don't know what it is. Did y'all order a new circuit, an internet circuit? Nothing. She says, nothing I know of. I said, well, somebody over there did. Are y'all changing circuits? She said, I have no idea. And this was about a week and a half ago. I said, well, you need to find out because it looks like someone ordered a circuit. So today I get a call from somebody saying, I need help installing this new circuit from a different person at the company. Like, oh, I guess this person ordered a circuit. But he said, I don't know anything about it. They just gave this to me today and say, install it. And I say, well, what information? Where's the DMARC? I don't know. What's the IMP information? I don't know. Okay.
So an AT&T person showed up at their place and said, here, install this?
He apparently ran to the DMARC and said, I'm done. Y'all got to do the rest. And this is in a different state, so I can't just do it. I mean, I walked them through configuring the circuit they have now, but then, now they've got a new one. But at least in the other one, they had information, and the tech was still there. This, in fact, that was one of the ones where I could ping the address that he was giving me a month back, and it happened before. So they had no information. He didn't know where the DMARC was. He didn't know if there's a cable going to the router. He didn't know the IP information. He didn't know anything. He didn't know what speed you're supposed to get. I said, okay, well, it sounds like you called me a little prematurely. So why don't you get all this information and call me back? So that's pretty funny. And it's only like seven people in the company. when she was going to find out who ordered the circuit, she could have emailed all seven people and say, hey, did someone order this? But apparently she didn't do that.
Wait. Let's go back. There's only seven people in the company.
Yeah.
Are they in the same location?
No. Two different states.
Okay. Because that would have just been the cat's meow for them to have all been in the same spot and not, you know, not be able to use their sneaker net to go talk to their staff.
She could have emailed company-wide, a mass email, let's call it, right? Hey, did someone order an AT&T circuit? But that wasn't done. So I get a call today, and yeah, I'm like, oh, well, that explains that. Okay.
So are these like seven equal partners in the company that they each get to make their own decision? Like there wasn't like one person in charge to say, hey, do you know about this? They had to call you.
Yeah, they're all in charge.
Oh my.
And one quick one, then I'll be done with my stories. And this is actually more of a tip. So we're in the middle of a migration, email migration from on-premises to cloud. And do you know, we found out today how to find out if when you're doing migration, you have to do it from some account, right? Some account is an administrator account, and you're using that account to migrate. If you want to see if that account has rights to the other mailboxes, log into OWA with that account. Once you're logged in, just at the back of the URL, just add the person's email address and hit enter. If you have rights, their mailbox will open. If not, you'll get an error. So, quick tip.
Wow, that's a nice one.
What about just checking the status of the user, just going into the permissions and looking and see if it's like if it's global administrator or something along those lines?
You could go in that, yeah. But see, in this case,
I'm confused. I'm sorry. The URL you're pointing, the URL you're referring to is the local on-premise URL.
Well, whatever the OWA link is.
So yeah, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters internal or external.
No. Well, because the URL externally through hosted exchange is going to be, it could be potentially different, and that's why I was asking.
Yeah, any OWA link, if you log in with what you think is an admin account, if you just, once you logged in, add the other mailbox, add the other email address to the back of it. If the mailbox you logged in with has rights to that mailbox, it'll just open.
Got it.
So that's because we were trying to troubleshoot a migration problem, and that's one way to see, because the migration was failing on verification. But that's one thing we found out to do is to see if it actually has rights, just do that, and that'll tell you right away if you have rights to the mailbox. So, quick tip.
All right.
Very nice. Yeah, the one time that we had a migration from local to hosted, they paid the company who is doing our email that we went through to get our licensing for. They paid them to do it all. So.
Ah, the push it off on them ploy. Works for me. I like that.
It works for me. Well, I mean, I said, you know, I've never done that before. And they said, well, they gave us a good price to do it themselves. And so the company paid for it. And I said, let me know when it's done.
Yeah, that works for me too.
Yeah. So.
All right. Awesome. Obando, what do you got this week?
Well, man, I got things 2 days in a row. Things with, I'm not an electrician. I don't like electricity. I don't like to be shocked. I don't even like to lick 9-volt batteries. Not that, I mean, I know there's some people out there and you're probably listening to the show saying I like 9-volt batteries. So I don't. And so I've had two jobs back to back where power was involved, and that kind of makes me nervous. And so I'm kind of laying low so far today. Nothing caught on fire, nothing exploded. And they were both moves. So, you know, I had mentioned possibly before we had a big move coming up, and it just didn't go as planned. And, you know, I think that's one of the things you have to be really flexible about is that when there is a network move and you're relying on other people to just be flexible, the low-level electrician who was supposed to come in and have everything done for me by Sunday morning so I could start my job Sunday morning was not done. I didn't find out until Saturday night that he wasn't going to have his stuff done until Sunday night. And really what that turned out to be was he was not done until Monday morning. About 6 o'clock, I showed up at 6:30 and he was gone already by that time. When I was there Sunday morning, there was just massive amounts of cables just from the hanging from the ceiling, no patch panel, no, nothing. The ends at the, you know, on the in the walls weren't even done. They were just hanging, bare wires hanging out. And his solution to me was set the server up, get it up in place, get it running, and then just run 100-foot cable for every to every computer so you can make sure that it's connected and you can get the new software installed.
Yeah, good. Who's going to pay for the 100-foot cable?
Right. He said, I'll leave you 100-foot cable. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. So really, the 3 hours that I was on site Sunday, really, I got the server up and running. We realized that's when I actually called Marvin Sunday night because their Sonic wall up and died. So I was now dealing with the down router. When I arrived Sunday morning, the low-level electrician had taken all the gear with him. So I show up and there's a router and a bunch at the old place and a bunch of cut Cat5 cables. Not the router, but my server. It was on, but there was no... It didn't go as smooth as I expected it to be. I expected for me to come in, grab the network gear, move all the network gear, make sure I had backups and everything before he came in and just moved everything. So I have no idea what he did, but the firewall Sonic wall is dead. Doesn't work now. I called Marvin, said help. And he goes, yeah, sorry. There's not a whole lot you can do with that. And I said, well, okay. So I put a new one, just a TP-Link one in place just to get them up online. That needs to go away soon, but they are up and running. And, so I show up Monday morning to get everything back up and running, and I put in my alarm code, and it doesn't work. And so I put it in again, and it doesn't work. And now the sirens go off. And so now I'm standing in a dark office building in a very industrial place in Portland, and the alarm is blaring. So I have to call the owner at 6:30 in the morning and say, what's the code? This didn't work. Put the code in. It went quiet. Got them up and running because they had a third party doing software updates at 8 a.m. So we got that up and running. Yay, we're good. I start plugging in devices. This is where it gets fun. I start plugging in devices to a new power panel, new power station. They had, when you walk into this company, there are two desktops in an island to greet customers. They do signs and they do services and stuff. So that's where they would greet customers. They would work on some projects right there. And so it's an island with two poles coming down from the ceiling, one being power, one being Cat5. Plugged in the switch that I was going to use to for more Cat5 down that thing, and instantly the brick itself starts shaking. Like I can hear it audibly shaking, and it actually I can feel the vibration in my hand from the brick. So I pull it out of the wall. I think, well, that's weird. Put it back in. It vibrates again, and as I'm pulling it back out again, it pops, and there's smoke coming out of the little brick. So. We move on. I plug in then their fax machine, and I hear sizzling like bacon in a pan and plumes of smoke coming out from underneath this island. So I unplug everything really quick. And so we call the electrician. And then they come out and they start randomly shutting on and off circuits that my server is connected to, and I'm working on it. And they have somebody remoted in from Texas, and they're just... You could just hear him in the back, just flipping breakers. Click, 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 click. And I'm like, please stop. You're freaking me out. So we get everything up and running. And so it just went a lot longer than expected. We deployed three new systems, used Fabs Auto Backup. Everything went really, really well. So they're going to be getting a new switch firewall, something. Cause that's the old TZ that we actually on the last show talked about, the TZ210. So I believe that, if I'm correct, Marvin, that router is pretty much end of life anyways.
Next year, 2017.
I'm not going to bother trying to reset it, get it back up and running and put it back in place they have not paid for support for that router. So I know the support is dead and the router is going end of life anyways.
Well, the support's not dead. What they did, the support was supposed to be dead. But they know that people weren't going to upgrade, so now what they did was they raised the subscription rates 30%. So you can still get services on them.
What I mean by dead is my client never renewed their support with it. So I guess we can continue to get support if we wanted to.
Right.
But they raised it by 30%.
Yeah, but here's what I would do is do the secure upgrade program, and you get a new router. You just transfer, tell them it's replacing an old Sonic wall. And with that, you'll get actually 2 years of service instead of the 1 year that comes with it. So maybe they'll feel like they're getting a bargain that way.
Okay. I will find out because they did mention to me that they, excuse me, use the they use the firewall for content management. So I want to make sure that, that we get that set up as well. They said they found that too many of their employees were surfing Craigslist. So they blocked Craigslist. I said, okay, we can do that. So then I had a new another computer that just a home computer to do that. And their UPS wasn't big enough to handle the power. So every time they went to go print something, it would shut down the new computer I was deploying. And I had to redo the backup or the, you know, moving the data three times over. So I'm kind of tired of power just randomly shutting off on me.
You know, with that alarm going off that early, you're lucky you weren't mistaken for some kind of rioter or looter in Portland.
Well, I was kind of out. I know I was kind of away from all of that. But shortly after that, I kept thinking the police were going to show up at some point.
You didn't run away real quickly when the alarm went off, did you?
No.
Carried a computer, running away.
No, and actually, I knew what the alarm was going to sound like because the alarm was set off by the owner of the company the day prior when we went in together. No, but then shortly after that, I heard the door open, but then I didn't hear anything. So that was weird. So I'm working on stuff, and I turn around, and the super of the building is standing there working on stuff in the kitchen. I'm like, ah! So, you know, here it is, dark. Although, you know, I got some of the lights on, but I'm just there doing my thing, and he didn't announce himself. I usually, if I'm coming into a building, then I think, and it's dark 30 and the door's unlocked and the lights are on, I'm usually announcing myself.
Oh, bando in.
That's right. Don't. I'm the IT guy.
So we had a visit.
I don't like power issues either. Power issues are terrible because electricians never want to admit that it's a power issue. Of course, when things catch on fire, it's hard for them to deny it, but.
Right.
So
I was going to say that we got a visit from the cops last week.
At your office or house?
Not my office. I was at a customer location doing a ISP turnup for internet and phones. And the service provider was doing the 911 check after we got all the phone lines up and, you know, called 911, told them it was, you know, the phone company testing and making sure that the proper address showed up. And they said yes, and everything was good, and we were done. So we're letting everybody get back in and work and starting to pack up. And a nice little sheriff shows up at the door and wanted to know if there was a prank call being called in to 911. And we're like, no, we told him it was a test. Actually, I didn't say that. What I did was I pointed to the phone guy and said he made the call.
And then you ran the other way.
It was him.
It was not the black man making the call. So, but that
so
was.
So is that a common thing that to call 911? I've never been around when that happens. Is that common to call 911 to test?
Yeah, we do that all the time down here.
Really?
Yeah.
We've done it here too.
Yeah, especially.
I would be so tempted to just let out a big curdling scream when someone is saying it's a test and just scream my head off. Well, that someone else is reporting the test.
Wow, yeah, but it was fun. It was interesting. I mean, I've done it for several years with my providers, and they always, especially when there's a new VoIP system going in, you know, in order to know that the E911 address is correct, you know, they just, you know, call somebody and say, hey, what address is showing up?
I've never been around for that. I guess so. Probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So listen.
I would have left that to the telco guy who is still working on some stuff. So that's something that I usually do.
So I just wasn't there. Yeah. I want to pile on for a second, and I'm going to add to the stack of email that we had because I forgot to mention that we did have another email. It just didn't go to the Podnuts Pro address. It actually came to me.
It's a private email.
Holding out on us.
I forgot, but, you know, I want to say, you know, thank you to Chris. Chris actually emailed in to talk about the 9-pin VGA cable that I asked you guys about a couple of weeks ago. So he writes in and says, I believe the 9-pin VGA cable your client was looking for is actually an RGB cable. This was the video interface standard in the late 80s and early 90s before VGA came prevalent. The RGB interface has a 9-pin connection. My first few computers, a Tandy 1000, and a couple of IBM 8086 clones had this type of video interface. You can get a cable from Amazon at the link below. And he actually put the link in the email. And it is a true 9-pin video adapter cable.
For we need to put $4, because everybody should have one of those on hand.
$4.81 currently on Amazon as an add-on item. So do another purchase for $25. Add in the RGB monitor cable, and you'll be good to go.
It's awesome.
That is cool.
So, again, relevant information, and we know that people are listening.
I like that. And now we all know where to get the cable if we need to.
Do we have show notes? Are we putting stuff in the show notes?
Yeah, I usually hold up on the show notes. Sometimes we have notes, sometimes we don't.
Sometimes you feel like a nut?
Well, no, I mean...
Sometimes you feel like a note, sometimes you don't.
So, yeah, if you want to give me that URL, I will put that in the show note.
All right.
I don't want to have too many notes.
We only get one per show. Make it good.
That's right. This is the one and only note. A flat.
Oh, my goodness. Have you ever had so much fun on a podcast, folks? My goodness.
I'm still waiting.
How about that Star Wars quote?
Do you have your story time, or is that...
It was a police story. What more do you want?
Okay, so we're done with story time?
Listen, a black man not running from the police. That's a story.
That's a headline. That's what that is.
This sounds dangerous.
That sounds dangerous. Yeah,
let's get back on track.
All right.
So let's go back to documentation. I did do a interview. I did actually two interviews yesterday. One of my customers that has a full-time tech on site to handle basic help desk stuff. This customer's got over 100 users in 8 locations, and I wasn't going to go work for them full-time, and I wasn't going to put one of my techs in there full-time, and they didn't want one of my techs full-time. They wanted somebody that worked for them that they could send wherever they wanted to and not have to worry about, you know, paying extra high rates or whatever. So I just manage the network, and the desktop person takes care of that stuff. Well, that person is leaving, and they're actually letting me be involved in the interviewing process. So we were interviewing this IT person who works for a managed service provider. And it's funny because he just started with that job in May after leaving a nice job that he had where he was in charge of IT for a couple of schools. And the reason he's trying to get out of there so fast is because he claims that the service provider that he's working for is disorganized. And he is responsible for 4 locations where there is no documentation of the networks that are there. So they kind of sent him in there blind to figure things out and keep things up to speed, but they don't have a ticketing system. They don't have a documentation system. And when he asked for resources to, you know, upgrade the networks and do all that stuff, he kind of gets told no. So I just thought that that would be interesting to say that, you know, here's a tech who is in a situation where he realized the importance of being able to work in an organized and documented network. I just find that amazing that that companies are like that.
It doesn't surprise me, but I wonder what kind of service they provide to their customers.
I don't know, but they're local here, so I'm going to look them up and try to see if I can do a mystery customer. No, Comcast is well documented for their customers. I'm going to get one of my friends to pose as a mystery customer, and we'll call them up and see how they do.
You should get them to come look at it with some computer with those 9-pin video cables and see what they say.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't surprise. I can understand his frustration trying to work in that environment. That would drive me up a wall as well. Although I do like jobs going in to straighten things out for customers, but I do want to straighten it out and document it so it's not a mess anymore. But that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone into situations like that, and I mean, of course, the easiest thing for me to do is, you know, pull out my forms, pull out my Fluke, and I can get, you know, most everything I need from that. At least I can get, you know, the devices on the network. I can get all IP addresses, MAC addresses. And, you know, once you get into your server and Active Directory, you can pretty much, you know, if you can't get everything, you at least get to a point where you can start to reset stuff if you have to. But in terms of documentation, I mean, you've got to have stuff documented somewhere. Now, of course, you don't want it, you know, taped to the phone system in the phone room with the administrator password and all of that stuff. But you got to have something somewhere. If you're supporting a customer and you've got to send somebody out there, they need to be able to know what they're going into.
Right. And I think, you know, I've been in that situation where I've gone on site to a customer and I've actually called the person previous. There was a disagreement, so this customer let their IT person go. And I called them and I said, I need some information from you. And they said, you're the new IT guy now. You figure it out. Click. So, you know, I've been in that situation of, well, what do I do now? And even if you don't have a Fluke or something like that, there's free scanning devices that you could put on the network. You know, if you have a laptop or something like that to plug it in to find stuff. But yeah, a lot of times I've actually had to go to that to my new customer now and say, so here's the situation I'm in. You know, I'm here. I have been told that it's my job to find everything out. I'm not getting any support for them. I will do the best that I can and document, but this is going to be a learning process. And as things come up, we're going to be just learning together. But I will, but know that I will be then giving you and making sure that you have an updated set of IT documentation.
Yep, discovery is fun.
But being on the receiving end of that, I make sure that my documentation is well written, so that way if for some reason one of my clients says, you know, hey, it's time for us to move on, you know, and I've had a client say, you know, it's time for us to move on to somebody else. We had some disagreements, this client and myself, and actually it was a good thing that we separated. And I gave them the documentation. They said, here's what I have. I hope everything works out well for you in the future. And, you know, business is business, but I don't hold on to it myself because I've been on the receiving end of that.
And just to say, even if I'm taking over for someone and they give me documentation, of course we still need to verify it, right?
Right.
Can't just take for granted that it's all accurate. It could be old documentation that's been changed. So it's a good starting point. Mm-hmm. If you get someone else's documentation, but I'd always recommend, and I'm sure you did, but for those listening, to verify yourself.
And change usernames and passwords, or at least passwords and stuff.
Right. Right. I've seen tech guys know the people, not just the admin passwords, but the user passwords to change.
Yeah.
Because the tech might know the user's passwords because he did something. So I would usually recommend all the users change their password as well.
Especially if they leave users as administrators on their local workstations.
Yep.
It is good practice, and it makes you look good, that if you're the outgoing tech to provide and leave all the information for them. One of the utilities that I use with where I keep my passwords and most of my documentation in terms of, you know, devices, services, it'll, you know, I can put in IP addresses, MAC addresses, service dates of when contracts end. And if I had a customer that said we're done, I basically can go into that utility. I can prepare a password protected zip file to send to the new tech and say, here's all the stuff.
Providing the client is up to date on their invoices.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, once I get that check.
I might not be so generous if they owe me a few thousand dollars.
Well, yes, of course.
All right. Which is why sometimes they want new IT people because they want to pay us. They want to get somebody else and start with a $0 invoice, you know, $0 bill and work up.
Have you actually, I can't remember. I think I did have one customer who we knew we were kind of on shaky ground with And part of it was because we wanted out, and we wanted out bad. And they called one day asking us to turn back on their service, that they can have a check waiting for us if that was the issue. And I had to say to them, we didn't turn off your service.
Yeah.
But they thought we did because they knew the situation was bad. They knew they owed us money. They knew there was stuff going on. And they thought we actually shut them down so that we could get our check. And I was
like, I go get my check and say, okay, by the way, the problem isn't us. It's somebody else you didn't pay. But that diagnostic is free. We'll consider it all settled right now.
There you go. This one's on the house.
We manage that service off for people that don't pay. Man, we, you know, it's not like we do it after 10 days pass, but if they're 90 days, 120 days pass, they're going to get warned quite a few times and then get shut off. And then they pay pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make them keep. Then after that, they're like, well, now you got to pay prepay. So if this is a paid service like hosted exchange or, you know, whatever you pay, you got to pay in advance. We're not going to bill you anymore after the fact. So. But yeah, especially with the industry now, with the and my part of the country, the oil field industries really having some struggles. It's affecting a lot of people, a lot of companies down here. So,
do you make them prepay credit card or
we don't take credit cards?
Prepay check for advanced service.
Usually, we'll just invoice them, and it's due when they get it. I mean, only a few prepay. Most of the ones that have trouble paying, we don't let them go over 30. So if it goes over 30, they get shut off because they've had problems in the past. But we do give them the net 15, basically. So once the time we mail it out or it's emailed out, they get 2 weeks. But if they go over 30, they're going to get shut off. Some clients that are slow pay.
Do you ever send anybody to collections?
If we did, it's one or two when it was 10, 15 years ago. Not recently, no.
I've sent two people to collections. And that was, I think the last one was... I think 2009 was the last one we sent to collections.
I mean, usually before it gets that bad, they're going to call with needing some kind of service, and it's an emergency, and we tell them, look, we'll be happy to come out. We need a check waiting for us for this much to catch up, and then we'll look at you, and then add another 2 hours to cover this issue. And that way we're even.
Right.
So it rarely gets to that for us. They're going to have some emergency, so...
I've done that once and I actually sent a tech to a job where there was supposed to be a check waiting, and the person with the check conveniently wasn't there.
Yeah, call me back when the check is here.
Yeah, so they were trying to get my tech to do stuff, and he said, no, I can't even step inside if there's no check here. And so he came back, they called back again, and I said, nope, not going to happen. And, if you're going to call us back out, there better be two checks waiting because we're billing you for the time he had to go and wait the last time.
Cool. just so you know, Marvin, we didn't hear the last 10 seconds, just so you know.
Oh,
you really? You were playing the mannequin game.
Oh, I'm so Comcastic.
I was about ready to say that too.
We just said something so you think we heard you. It'll be in the recording.
Yeah,
I see.
I'll have to go back and listen to that now.
Our reaction may have been unwarranted.
I'll remember that. Let me start looking for my Ben Franklin quote and see.
Hey, so while you're looking for that, have y'all seen these new, I don't know what to call them, lazy infection attempts? But the client will get an email with instructions saying, hey, attach as an encrypted file. Here's your password. So they expect these users, and maybe some people fall for it, to open the attachment, type in a password, decrypt it, and then run the payload. Have y'all seen those?
I get emails with attachments in them, but I don't. They're obviously spam.
Yeah. So there's something coming out that they're encrypted, and it says attach as an encrypted file. You must use this password to decrypt it to run the contents. They're really making the users work for their infections now.
Well, do they think that because it's encrypted and they have to do some action that the users that validates that it's actually real and not spam?
Maybe they're hoping for that. My guess is that since it's encrypted, a lot of spam filters have problems with it. Since you, unless you're going to decrypt and re-encrypt, a lot of things can't be tested. So for spam filters and virus filters, but in order to encrypt it, the user has to decrypt it. So it's possible. I think they're probably doing it for both of those reasons. I haven't had any users fall for that I know of, but I have seen a few of those coming out. You know, you're really making their user work for it.
Yeah, they are.
It's not like, oops, I entered the password. Oops, I ran this. Oops.
Well, then you have to go back to them. Then when they say, well, I encrypted the network, you can say, listen.
I'm not a computer guy. That's their excuse.
Oh,
but
my.
But you did figure out how to decrypt and run the infection, though.
Right. But you can't follow instructions like don't open files from. I did get an email from somebody that like that this week. I got an email. It looks weird. It has an attachment to it. Says I should open it. What do you think I should do? I said, no, let's not. She says, yeah, I don't recognize. It's some email address at something.fr. I don't know who it is. I'm not going to open it. That's good. Let's not open it.
Well done. Send them a treat or something. Positive reinforcement.
And what was interesting is actually that company today, I got a box of goodies from that company today. Came in.
Oh, don't open it.
Oh, what'd you get?
Some pears, some cheese, some meat, some crackers, and some caramel corn.
So if someone sends you a package, you're just going to open it up and eat it.
Well, it's I know.
You think it's from the client.
It has a note on it. It says, thank you very much for all you do with the client.
Well, that must be legit then. No one could forge that.
I'm going to eat my pears, meat, and cheese by myself, and I'm going to send you a picture of it, of me being delicious. That'll be in the show note.
Oh, so you're going to put off our other link to next week.
With attitude like somebody, that, I just made.
Somebody's going to need that RGB cable. They're not going to need you eating a pear.
I will put is it?
That's okay. Do it. Do what you want. Do what makes you happy.
I'm waiting patiently by my email for your note to come in because it was just sent to you.
Oh, well, yeah, but I'm on my phone right now, and I don't really want to.
I'm not a computer guy, so yeah, I'll get to that when I can later.
Yeah. I'll have to get back to you. So I did have a customer that got Thor virus ransomware, or I shouldn't say again, but they got it. And so I spent a good bit of my weekend actually restoring files because they don't have one of my nice Datto backups in place. So that was fun. But I just got was able to talk to the owner yesterday, and not because of the Thor virus, but because they have to abide by security requirements from their clients. And one of the requirements by the clients is that they have good off-site backup. And since they did not before, I was able to recommend the Datto to them, and they're going to do that.
So this is post-infection, though?
Post-infection, yes.
So what were they running? They had their own backup system in place, or were you watching their backups?
Well, here's what they have. They have Shadow Copy.
I do like Shadow Copy, but that's your primary backup.
And they have a utility that copies their documents to a local NAS drive. So
which probably got infected too, or?
Well, it did, but I could still pull historical files from there. For instance, I was able to do Shadow Copy for most of it, and then I had to go back and privately look at certain folders. And this Thor virus, what had gotten infected mostly was Word documents. So any folders that we found that didn't have Word documents, it's funny because when the infection hit and the copies went over to the NAS, they did not overwrite the good Word files. So I could go in and pull those back over. So that's what took a little time to set up my program to do the copy and that sort of thing.
Now, what is your policy on billing for this?
That is by the hour for them.
Very good.
Because they are not on a managed backup system.
Very nice. I like doing that. Yeah, so if they were on a managed backup system, you would have done the recovery at no charge.
Correct.
Gotcha. That's what we do, too.
Well, technically, if they were on a managed antivirus and the managed backup, then it would be no charge.
Ah, the fine print.
You've got to read the fine print.
Are they on a managed antivirus plan?
They are not.
Oh, that's two strikes.
They're on a semi-managed plan.
So either way, they'd be paying for this.
This time, yes. Huh? So they have a centralized antivirus program.
I'm hearing Norton or Symantec is what I'm hearing.
It's close.
Avast.
It's close. Not quite.
ABG? Trend Micro?
ABG Business.
I was right with my Avast, technically.
True. It is now. Yes. ABG was bought by Avast.
This client that was the fire client, they have Trend Micro Business, and I need to get them moved off because they haven't. They're not computer people, so they didn't have, and they're not under a managed contract, so they didn't had no idea that had expired in 2014.
They're worried for your business. Centralized. Yeah. We still have a few clients on that too.
It expired in 2014.
Yeah.
Well. I think right about the same time that their protection for their Sonic Wall fired. And what happened was they were given to me by another client, a bigger company that I've worked with before, and they just don't care. I'm like, you know, this is a problem that you're going to run into in the future. Okay. Well, what should we do to fix that? Radio silence, you know? And so I think what happened is this is stuff that they just, I can see the kind of it was being taken care of. It, you know, the client became, wouldn't pay, wouldn't get any information back. So the client moved on to somebody else and dropped them. And now I'm in going, hey, all of this stuff that happened, we need to fix it because you've been floating, you know, just by yourself in open waters for a long time.
Well, I mean, at least it's only the last 2 years of virus definitions they're susceptible to.
Shouldn't be too much.
I don't think much came out in 2 years. Of course, they probably haven't updated the engine in a couple of years either.
Right. I mean, some of them are showing that they're up to date, which is weird. But there's when I go into their stuff, it's not up to, like, they don't have a valid license. So,
well, that was one version where it would always update no matter what. Even if the license expired, it would still update.
So maybe that's what they have. But they have three new computers now with no antivirus on it because there's no installer because it's gone. So I need to,
if it's Trend Micro worry for your business, you should be able to browse to the OFC scan directory to install it. Should be an OFC scan share, and then there's an installer.
From the server or wherever?
From the computer, if you just browse the network, there should be an OFC scan share on the server. So from the workstation, browse to that share, and there's an installer in there.
Okay.
There's an installer in there. That's what it's for. Or if you look in that share as an administration console, if you open that, there's a link that says click here to install. You can install that way too. But there was a version a few years back that even though the license expired, it would still update. And I had clients that knew that, so they never wanted to pay for an upgrade or pay for the license. They knew it kept upgrading and they knew it kept updating. Yeah. But I would tell them, yes, the definitions are updating, but the engine is not.
Well, I just want to move them off into something
else. Well, that's best. Yeah.
So.
Very nice.
Yeah. All right. That's a nice little tip, a little bonus action here.
Yeah, get an old version of Trend Micro, worry for your business so you can leech off free updates because of the flaw.
Sweet. Well, just remember, free is free for a reason.
That is free for a reason. Alrighty. So did you be able to find a new Benjamin Franklin quote?
Yeah, but I'm going to give you a good one tonight, and I'm going to save my lashing one for later.
Oh, okay.
Because I want to make sure everybody is enjoying their post Thanksgiving meal.
I had a great Thanksgiving. I don't know about y'all.
It's all right.
So in the spirit of Thanksgiving. Here's your quote. Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves us to be happy.
See, I've heard that with beer.
I would substitute amaretta, Di Serona amaretta, but I think we broke our tradition. We're supposed to end right after the quote. But
I did find that OFC scan file, by the way, folder. So,
all right, we're in overtime.
Time and a half. All right.
All right. So... anyway, folks, as you can tell, we are somewhere in the holiday spirit. So whenever you hear this, we hope that you are having a good holiday, or you've had a good holiday, or will be having a good holiday. And we'll just make sure we cover all bases there. Gentlemen, anything from you guys before we sign off here tonight?
If you have any questions, comments, concerns, complaints, shoot us an email, podnutspro@podnuts.com. Or if you only want to talk to Marvin, Marvin@podnuts.com, I guess.
If you'd like to just send me an email, you can email me at martin@podnuts.com. And I'll share the show notes with, if you send me a tip, I will share it with everybody.
And if you want to just email Matt by himself,
let's do that.
Matt@podnuts.com. And we're still waiting for emails on how many O's in Google.
No, it was, we had that. We solved that problem on the show, live on the show. I did it. But yeah, I forgot. But
you stopped at 8.
Because it doesn't.
That's because it said that 8 was the best. So if it's on the internet, it must be true. Is that what you're saying? Wait,
the question was, what domain, right, is valid with so many O's?
Yeah, what's the most amount of O's you can put in Google and get a valid domain?
Well, okay. Because what if you do 10 and then there's nothing for 11 and then you do have 12? So it could be infinite.
Yeah, but if you're lazy.
So maybe somebody out there is still working on it, and they're feeling the pressure.
I just typed in like 15 or 16 and I got a site.
You did not.
I did. It was some kind of
share your screen.
It popped up with some kind of Google survey.
Google survey. Share your screen.
Share my screen. I'm not a computer guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are into the adult beverage portion of the show.
Oh, what happened?
I did 20, and it takes me to brandresearchgroup.com, and the lady talks to me, and if I if I answer it, I get $50. So, let's end the show because I want to go get $50.
I get a web of trust warning. I gotta go back.
I think you lost either way there, Marvin.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm done. All right, so gentlemen, thank you very much. And for all of you listening, enjoy your adult beverage. And we're going to end off the show here before we get completely off the road, rails, whatever it's called. So thank you for listening. We will be back soon. Everybody have a good night.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.